There's a story told of a young boy who stops while riding his bike in front of his neighborhood church, and he sees the priest coming out the front doors. He waves, and the priest waves and says, "Come inside for a glass of cold lemonade." The little boy says, "But somebody might steal my bike." The priest replies, "Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will watch it." So the boy goes inside, and as the two pass in front of the cross over the altar, the priest bows and makes the sign of the cross. So the boy bows and asks the priest to show him how to make the sign of the cross. "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen," says the priest while showing the boy how to make the sign of the cross on himself. "And now you try it," said the priest. So the boy responds, "In the name of the Father and the Son, amen." The priest, confused, asked him, "So what happened to the Holy Spirit?" The boy replied, "He's outside watching my bike." Welcome to Trinity Sunday. It's never easy to preach about the Trinity. At seminary, we were told that Trinity Sunday is a good Sunday to invite the bishop to preach. So I'll begin with a quote from our now quite well-known, beyond the church, presiding bishop, Michael Curry. "There is a power in love to help and heal when nothing else can." Last Saturday morning, I awoke unusually early. Early, mind you, without the usual three alarms it normally takes to get me moving before dawn. I'm a night owl. I'm not a natural early riser. We were in a hotel near Newtown, Connecticut last Saturday morning, having arrived Friday afternoon at the invitation of a couple I have known since they met in college 7 years earlier, the bride and her family I have known since the bride was 7 years old. Such a joy to witness and bless the beginnings of their marriage. At 5:30 on the morning of their wedding, I opened my sleepy eyes. We had left home at 3:30 in the morning the previous day, and looked at the clock, the only light in the room. I hadn't planned to watch the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I did want to hear the address or homily of our presiding bishop. I knew from personal experience that he would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to the couple, those gathered, and the world. A powerful word of the love of Jesus, and he did not disappoint. I remember thinking as the camera showed the Most Reverend Michael Curry grasping the lectern so that the candles on either side rocked with the fervor of the energy that he exudes in the joy of the faith he preaches. I was thinking they better hang on to their fascinators. I don't know about you. I was filled with the emotion of this triune faith of ours. Tears filled my eyes, hope filled my heart. I felt enormous pride for our church and the message we have to share of love, welcome for everyone, justice, healing, and hope. The words to an old spiritual that Bishop Curry shares virtually every time he speaks calls us to new vigor and commitment to the work of reconciliation, justice, and love. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend, who, if you ask for knowledge, will never fail to lend. And if you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus, who died to save us all. We do need to tell the love of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Spirit in us speak of the love that God longs for us to share. the balm that will heal the sin-sick soul of our world, of each one of us. And as Bishop Curry said, bring a new heaven and a new earth into being. In every interview Bishop Curry has unabashedly given this week, he spoke of the love he saw clearly for the other in the couple in the midst of the pomp, circumstance, and beauty of the Anglican traditions mingled with the contemporary beauty of a gospel choir, a young musician, an African-American preacher, a black female priest. The love of this couple brought a glimpse of the love the marriage service itself calls forth in the union of two people joined in the love of God. In that very public ceremony, we witnessed a glimpse of God's love in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit for all of us. There was a spark of hope, a balm, a tiny glimpse of what a new heaven and a new earth might bring. And as we saw on Thursday evening of this week, as faith leaders from around the world gathered for worship in Washington, D.C., and then marched to the White House, there is still much to do. I've been preparing sermons for Trinity Sunday for most of my 35 years of ordained ministry, and I have come to believe what is quoted of Jesus in our passage from John's Gospel today. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. My friends, what is it that you know? What have you seen? Here you are gathered in this place for worship, in community, in the world. What do you know? What have you seen that has lifted you from the things of the flesh and called you to seek the things of the Spirit? Where have you found enough space in this cacophonous world to find God in the silence, to feel the love of Jesus that enfolds us and is called forth from us, to let the Holy Spirit breathe new life and hope into our being? Our gathering in this way has become countercultural. The vast majority of white people today are earth and fleshbound, caught in the sin-sick world of anger, falsehood, enmity, hatred, fear of the other. The light of each candle on the high altar is a stark reminder of the things we worship and cling to that lead only to death. We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. What do you see? What do you know? How is the Holy Spirit breathing new life into you, into us? How will Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, born of the depths of God's love for every one of us, live in us? How will it live through us? I live in the world, not apart from it, and I am all too aware of the ways that the flesh win over the spirit now and then. I can at times relate to both Isaiah and Nicodemus. When Isaiah suddenly sees a vision that unites heaven and earth, he is overwhelmed with a sense of his unworthiness, declaring himself a man of unclean lips, from a sinful nation. And what happens next is my hope. His sin is purged as his lips are cleansed by a live coal brought by a seraph from the heavenly altar. And so when he hears the Lord call for someone to send as the bearer of the word, Isaiah cries out, "Here am I, send me." This very passage was read at my ordination to the priesthood, and I heard it with the awe that I imagine Isaiah recounted it, and I hear it today with that same awe. As one commentator on this passage reflected, this passage reflects the profound sense of awe and wonder at the glory of God, as well as the transforming power of God's presence that enables a positive response to God's call. Here we see that prophetic speech is not derived from human insight and intelligence. It is a gift, indeed a call from God. And there is another piece of divine revelation today in the gospel story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader, a teacher of the law, and most likely was a fairly public person with a significant standing in his Jewish community. He has taken note of this compelling young teacher who was attracting crowds wherever he went. Nicodemus had come to believe that God was with this Jesus in some way, and he wanted to know more. Since Nicodemus had standing in the Jewish community, he couldn't be seen speaking with Jesus in public. And so he came to him under the cover of night. And out of the darkness of night, a metaphor for the darkness of ignorance and misunderstanding, Nicodemus and we bring our questions. And those questions are taken up by Jesus, the Word made flesh. He gives us the words of new life, of a fresh perspective. He says that we must be born from above, and that the Spirit will pave the way for possibility for new life that this will bring. And there is misunderstanding between the world of flesh and the world of spirit that is meant to give us pause. We are to ponder our own lives and the rut that we might be in spiritually. As Judith McDaniel notes in Feasting on the Word, like Nicodemus, we collect pennies from heaven when what is being offered is unimaginable wealth. The wealth is the very kingdom of God. In this passage, Jesus is telling Nicodemus and telling us that God's kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is not some far-off goal to be attained. The kingdom is present now as a gift from God. And why in the world does God care? Because the wind blows where it chooses. As God seeks humanity, God seeks to reveal God's self to us, to be in relationship with us. For it is in God's nature to be in relationship. Sometimes I feel like Nicodemus. God calls me into the place of spirit, and somehow I'm stuck in the flesh. I can only see earthly things. And then I feel that same woe as me. And every time I hear and see God near, I know again the power of the Spirit to lead me to speak and live out of the profound love of Jesus. What do you hear? What do you know? What have you seen? What stories of the power of the Spirit, of the love of Jesus, the wisdom and truth of God can you speak into the hurt of your own lives, into the hurt, lies, hatred, and destruction of this world that could bring a new heaven and a new earth into being? On Trinity Sunday, we celebrate and demonstrate wherever we can the fundamental fact of Christian relationship. As God the Creator is with God the Son, our Redeemer, is with the Spirit, our Sanctifier, and the Spirit is with God in blessed community, we are blessed to be in community with God, the three in one, who seeks to initiate the kingdom with all humanity. How might this be possible? Look to Scripture. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in God may not perish, but have eternal life. It's not just a thing you hold up at football games, you know. God's intention is not condemnation. It is salvation. And so God's love as creator, redeemer, and sanctifier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is ever present. Look around. See what you can see. What do you hear? What do you know? This holy love is a constant invitation to share in the interconnectedness, the very relationship of the creating, liberating, and healing love of the Holy Trinity. When have you known God's love to be spoken? Where have you seen God's love at work? There is a power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. So, if you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus who died to save us all. Amen.